Let's conclude, I think, should be a conclusion of what we were teaching last time, that our teaching on the way faith works in prayer. If you have your Bibles, quickly, last time I said we're going to read from the book of James, chapter 4, but we didn't get there before time ran out on us. It's not as if it was time's fault. It was our fault. The book of James, chapter 4, on verse 1. He said, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. They do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, please notice that. Let me just read verse 4. He said, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Please note the word adulteresses. That's a word that is used. It was talking about spiritual adultery there. It wasn't just talking about physical adultery. It was talking about spiritual adultery, that is, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? That is, anyone who is a friend of the world, being one that's supposed to be espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, is an adulteress in relating with the world. He said, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me just stop here, because you can read it down to verse 10 later, but there's a reason why I read this, so I think my point will be clear from up to that verse 4. Now, what I just want to bring out from here, remember we have been talking about how faith works in prayer, and I said there are three important points I want to make in that regard, even though here and there we've talked about some other things. Like last time I was speaking about not accepting some of the wrong diagnoses of the world, and therefore saying that you need deliverance when you actually don't, all right? That was not part of the main thing that we're talking about, but as the Holy Spirit inspires, one has to say some things that will be of help to the people of God. Now, the three main points I was making is that, number one, in everything, we must know that God is all that we need. We read that one from Psalm 73 and verse 25. Who do I have in heaven but you? And once I have God in heaven, I'm not concerned about who I have on earth or who I know on earth or who I don't know. My desire is never to reach out for human connections or human, effort, all right? Human power is not what I need. Now, we talked about that. And last time I now spoke about the fact that we must know exactly what we want. Two people went to the Lord Jesus, James and John. They said, grant that we may sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. And Jesus said to them, straight, you don't know what you are talking about. You don't know what you are asking for. That is, I said that we must know what we are asking for if we expect God to be able to answer us. An example I like to give all the time is this issue of marriage. Very important. Let me just say this before I say that. Okay, that's one thing I want to say today anyway, so I'll still get back to it. But now that I said I'll say it, let me say it first, all right? It sounds very simple, but listen to this. God actually answers prayers. Did you hear what I said? It sounds very simple, but actually it's a matter of fact. God actually answers prayers. You know, the reason why it appears like he doesn't is because people don't know how to pray. That is why they came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. There is a how to everything. Are you getting my point? And now when I'm talking about how faith works in prayer, that's precisely what I'm trying to address again. God actually answers prayers, and he answers prayers all the time. The issue is that oftentimes we don't know how to pray. And that's why he said, guard your steps when you come to prayer. You know, that's, I'm adapting Ecclesiastes chapter 5 now. He said, when you draw near the temple, all right? But I want to adapt it. Guard your steps when you come to prayer. First of all, you must come to learn how, all right? Otherwise, you'll just be punching around, all right, aimlessly and not getting results. And the less the amount of results you get, the more you are discouraged when it comes to the matter of prayer. And the more you are discouraged, the less likely you are to get results. It becomes a positive feedback matter, all right, vicious cycle in which you eventually get discouraged. I gave an example the other day about a young man who needed a job, needed something good in his life, and he decided that the way by which he was going to do it was to invoke the power of the tithe and the power of the offering. And he joined the two of them together and went to use it to demand a job from God. And God refused to answer him. He said that, right now I am discouraged. And I laughed when I read it. I said, because see, what discouraged you was that you went on the wrong premise. They told you that if you want to get something from God, you must first give to him and then hold, you know, tie a rope to that thing you gave to him. Hold it tight and come there and say, Lord, did you eat that ram? Lord said, yes. Say, I was the one that sent it. Are you getting my point? Now, so he was discouraged. And that's what happens. When we don't have the proper, all right, understanding of it, it appears like God does not answer prayers, but he actually does. Why would I go into that again? A lot of times, people don't know what they are asking for. So even though God answered, or God wants to answer, there is a disparity, all right? There's a discordance between what they are saying and what God wants to give them back. Even if God were to answer what they are saying, you understand? It won't appear like that. Do you get what I'm saying? It won't appear. So there's just a problem. And a lot of times, God actually answers, and they are unable to recognize the answer. You know the story of the nation of Israel? For a long time, they had their own concept of who the Messiah was supposed to be. All right? And people were praying. In fact, when they came to John, to Jesus, and said, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. Even though we quote that, but if you look at it properly, in the context of which the things happened, actually what happened was that the disciples of John had a prayer they used to say. Are you getting my point? The disciples of the Pharisees had a prayer they used to say. And those prayers, to a large extent, had to do with the coming of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? They understood they had to pray for the coming of the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, what happened? They took him aside and crucified him. Why? Because he did not fit the image of what they thought the Messiah should be. So there was a scripture about the coming of this Messiah. All right, there were many scriptures. And they were making prayers. But their prayer was not really effective because they did not even know what they were praying for. All right? And when God finally answered the prayer of some people and he sent that Messiah, the large majority of them crucified the Messiah that they thought they were praying for. And that's the example, I was going to give an example that I give all the time in the area of marriage. Listen to this. If you correctly define your terminologies properly, all right? If you get the words right, you are closer to the answer to your prayer. My example is this. Somebody says, I told a friend of mine once, he was trying to describe the kind of thing he wanted in the relation and everything. I said, listen, what you have just described is called a wife. Just go and get married. Are you getting my point? And then for Christians, sometimes, now that guy was not a believer. Now, but for Christians, sometimes we ask God for what he's not planning to give any one of his children. God is not going to give you a husband that will take care of you. Forget that one. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
Are you sure? Are you sure that your amen is sincere? You can't go and meet God, please give me a husband that will take care of me. God said, listen, I'm the only one that takes care of people. I'm your God, that kind of husband, I'm the only one. And the Bible says God is a jealous God. You know what it means to be jealous? There are things he doesn't share. You understand? The way I've read that Psalm 121, commentaries on it, he said, will I lift up my head to the hills, believing that that's where my help comes from? He said, no, my help comes from the Lord. Are you getting my point? So a lot of times we are trying to lift up our heads to husbands. Are you getting my point? We are trying to lift up our heads to one man. And then you're saying, God, bring it. And God says, lie, lie. I will never do that. Create an idol for you that will compete with me. No. You say, Pastor Man, God, should you pray? But I'm not going to discuss that one now. Go and listen to my message, How to Find True Love. All right? In fact, it's currently one of the recommended messages on our homepage, on the website. Is that okay? God says, I'm not giving that to anybody. So just forget it. In the same manner, a man is feeling very, maybe whatever his problem, I don't know, feeling lonely, feels like he needs comfort and all of that. So he starts praying for a wife. God said, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. I am not going to give you a woman to come and take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. So just forget that one. It's very important, though. People don't realize some of these things. You go and making prayer points every day. And God said, me? I'm not going to answer that. You're asking me to replace myself in your life. Why should I do that? I was one that commanded that you must have no other God beside me. They will not give you another one. Myself? No, my name is not Aaron. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. It's very crucial that we understand this, all right? It's a problem mostly amongst the sisters, amongst the women. And it's a lot of times we are praying about husband. We are praying for a replacement for God. And God will never, ever, ever answer that prayer. So they came to Jesus, grant that we sit on your left and on your right. They thought that they were going to be big bosses. Afterwards, we are going to be powerful people in the ministry. Are you getting my point? Then when the ministry is established in the kingdom, James, you are going to control this side. And John, you control this other side. I said, no, this is not a controlling place. Are you getting me? At least they did not understand what they were praying for. It is so important as Christians, we understand really what we're asking for. I remember, you know, I told you once, somebody came up to me and said that I should pray with him. I said, what is it? He said that so that God will open the door for him to go for a foreign trial. I said, what's foreign trial? Like, are you a criminal? No. That is a footballer. He wants to go to meet foreign clubs so that they may try. And he'll play for them. I said to him, have you been to Enyimba? Have they tried you in Enyimba? No. Aqua United? No. I mentioned a few Nigerian clubs I could think of. Have you gone for trials, any one of these ones? He said no. So I should open my mouth now and pray for... What do you think I have? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. What is it that you are looking for money? If you want to pray for money, go and pray for money. There's nothing wrong with praying for money. If it's football you want to play, there are enough opportunities in Nigeria to play football. But he had mixed it up. I should join hands with him and pray that God will open doors for foreign trials. Local trials, you have not yet done it. You don't know there's a principle in the scripture. You will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of Europe. You have not played in Enugu. Let's face it. The clubs here don't even know you. They are not looking for you, and you want a French club to be looking for your black face. You are getting on the next thing. And I should be the one to pray that kind of prayer. It's not as if God can't do it, but he doesn't do such things often. Because it's an order. Now, what should they have prayed about? Look, if you really feel called to be a footballer, whatever, let's not even use the word calling. If you really want to be a footballer, all right, then you should be playing football, not praying about playing football. I don't know what I hear what I said. You should be playing football. I said to preachers all the time also, you feel like you should preach, stop praying for God. Open doors for me to preach. Start preaching first. It is while you are preaching that you cannot start praying for God to open doors. You are sitting in your house, picking your teeth, and praying for open doors. And where should I preach? It's very simple. Go to one secondary school near your house. Start a fellowship there. They will come. So the young man, I said to him simply, listen, forget this prayer. I'm not going to pray with you for God to open doors. Let me pray for you that God will open doors in Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium here first. When you have filled that door, then come back. We'll pray for bigger doors. Then eventually, you will get somewhere. Now, why are you asking for me to pray that God will open doors in Europe? Because you think Europe is God. So you are praying so that God will send you to that place. And God said, no, I don't do such things. In fact, his servant, Banky, said, I don't even pray such prayers. Another example I've given before, somebody comes and say, pray so that my brother will be saved. Is the salvation of his brother important? If it's important, say amen.
Amen.
It's important. Should he pray for it? Yeah, but the guy actually was not praying for it. His brother has money and he's a good Christian, so the money is not flowing because his brother is an unbeliever. I don't know whether you get my point. So his own prayer point is, God, if this my brother can just be saved, I won't have any financial problems. And God tests the heart. He can see what you are praying about. He's a pastor that does not know. God knows. So the guy is fasting and praying until a hole drills in his stomach. God, he does not move. Why doesn't he move? So this guy is not praying for his brother, he's praying for money. Why didn't he just ask for money directly? And he will have needed to do only a quarter of this prayer he has prayed so far before I give him $1 million. I mean, if he works like that. So that's the point that we're trying to make on know exactly what you want. Don't deceive yourself. Know precisely what you are praying about. I gave an example last time. People said that, okay, draw it on the wall. What kind of car do you want? Is it red? Is it purple? Is it yellow? Is it green? You know, I said, don't just bother. If you prayed to God for a green car and he gave you a blue one, will you accept? If your answer is yes, then don't bother asking for colors. Because the things that are most important in life, you can't draw them on the wall. Are you getting my point? See, draw the picture of the husband or the wife you want to marry. The height, the complexion, the everything. That one is a lie. Yes, I know people have testimonies, but those are exceptions. They are not the rules. Because the things that are most important cannot be drawn on the wall. Character cannot be drawn on the wall. Godliness cannot be drawn on the wall. Are you getting my point? The love for the word of God cannot be drawn on the wall. Patience cannot be drawn on the wall. Are you getting my point? Somebody that has a cool spirit, you know, the Bible says it like this. He said, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. That's New American Standard rendering. All right? Just wanted to just get that one clear since we're just talking about it. In the book of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Very important. Now, just dropping that one in as part of what we're talking about. The Bible says we must learn, if you read that Philippians chapter 1, I think, verses 9 and 10, he said we must learn to approve those things that are excellent. Now, what am I trying to explain here? You will see in this portion of the scriptures, when you read the Bible generally, the word mighty, now notice this, the word might is often interchangeably used with the word wealth, that is money, being wealthy. In fact, if you read that Deuteronomy chapter 8, when he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get what? Wealth. The literal Hebrew is strength. It's the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get strength. That's the literal Hebrew. So when you read the scriptures, the word strength and the word wealth, they are often interchangeably used. What am I trying to explain here? So you can also read this a particular way. He that is slow to anger is better than the rich. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. Yes. That he that is slow to anger is better than the man that's wealthy. And he said he that rules his spirit, that can control his actions, it does not operate by emotion, is more important than the one that knows how to strategize in business and capture a big corporation. That's what he was saying. And the Bible says something is better. Literally, it is better. Now, the question I was saying is, how do you draw being slow to anger on the wall? Ability to rule the spirit. You can't draw it on the wall. Are you getting my point? So when people are telling us, you know, be very specific. You see, so I know some people have testimonies, but let's not fool ourselves. Some things are more important than others. So that's why I was saying that God answers prayers. Some of the prayers he does not answer is because the people are asking wrongly. A young woman is praying for a husband, or a young man is praying for a wife. Let's talk about the husband side. And she has put prayer points down that is saying clearly, God, I want this man to replace you in my life. I don't want to pray again before my needs are met. I want to have plenty of money flowing. Has never prayed that the man should be slow to anger. Has not never prayed that the man should be one that can rule his spirit. And listen, you know, God loves people. I hope you understand that. And God loves you. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
You know, I have children. You know them. You know I love them. So if I can look him now and say, Daddy, please buy me a motorcycle so I can be riding to school. What do you think I'm going to say to him? Just think about it. A bicycle. Then a motorcycle. At the age of 10, I should buy you a bicycle, a motorcycle, so you can ride to school. What's wrong with mommy dropping you in school? What's wrong with daddy picking you up in the afternoon? What's wrong with the school bus? What's wrong with coming out of your school, standing at that bus stop, joining the bus that just dropped you at the junction of the house, and you walk down home? What's wrong with that? You want a motorcycle. Whether I can afford it or not is not even a matter to be discussed. The simple thing is that the answer is no. It's not good for you. I don't know what gives us the impression that God does not do that with us also. And we think what we need is to press him hard enough and he must release by force. If Akinlu insists on that his bicycle, you know eventually he will get it. When he's 18. We'll keep discussing the thing. He'll be growing old. He won't know. I said, remind me next year. The next year he comes back. Then reminds me the following year. Eventually, he reaches the age in which, all this while, make sure you're riding your bicycle regularly. Get a crash helmet. Be riding your bicycle. When I've seen that, the way you can control your bicycle very well. Then when you reach the appropriate age, then we'll get there. I don't know what gives us the impression God doesn't do that with us. He does. Many things we're asking for, he said, you can't handle that one yet. You just can't handle it. You cannot handle it. So just wait. The time will come when you'll be able to handle it. And you don't even have to remind me. I will do it at such a time. That's why I keep saying, just know exactly what you're asking for. Because if my son, talking about him now, the issue is, okay, I just want to be able to get to school easily and back easily. I said, no problem, we can solve that. There are many ways to solve it. And what is wrong with the way you are getting to school now? Is it difficult? After somebody is dropping you in school and somebody is picking you back home. For that reason, I say, you see, you don't have a problem. So we'll suspend discussion on transportation. Are you getting what I'm not explaining there? All right? No, that's God does that one with us. I'm going to emphasize the fact that he actually answers prayers. It's when we pray wrongly that it appears as if he doesn't. And if Akinlu was to tell me that, and which is what I'm talking about now, we're back to the main point, that the one I want to add today, so I pick up from there. And if you were to come and tell me that, well, all my friends are coming to school, that one has this bicycle. Yeah, that's what the Bible calls worldliness. It's called adulteress. That is, you have been an adulteress as a Christian if you are doing things on those premises. And I said, well, there are 3 points. Number one, know God is the only person you need, and you direct your prayer towards him. And then number two, know exactly what you want. And number three, your motives must be pure. That's number three. Let's read that scripture we're reading again, reading earlier. Let's read it again. It said, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? I'm going to jump now because we've read it before. It said, you ask, and it said, you do not have, that's verse 2 now, towards the end, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's something I want to bring out here. I want to add it. I'm going to distill something out of this, even though that was not what James said directly. But I'll distill it out of this. I was saying earlier, I'll get back to my third point. You know, I tend to move up and down once in a while. I'm moving up and down now. So let me try and explain to you where I'm somewhere now. I'm getting back to our third point in a moment, but I want to go back to the last thing I was saying, that God actually answers prayers. Now, let me say this one to you so that you take note of it. James said that, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts? Why do you have war in your members? Why do you fight and quarrel? Now, you know what he was talking about. That was one person quarreling with another, all right? But I want you to understand something. I said I want to distill something out of it. You can also apply it this way. Why do you have struggles in your life? Why do you have to wake up so early in the morning and not return back till late and get very little results? Why do you have to take one exam again and again and you can't even get good grades in it? Why do you struggle so much? Are you getting my point? Now, I'm picking the words that James used. Why do you have quarrels and conflicts? Wars within your members? All right? Why do you fight and quarrel? Now, I'm applying that to one single individual. Are you getting my point? And looking at his own personal life. Why do you fight yourself over money? Why are you and your wife, now let's take a family, never in agreement on money matters? Why is there conflict, one individual again, in your business? Today, you hope to make this amount of money, but it doesn't come out like that. You hope to do this one, it doesn't come out like that. Why do you have all these struggles? James said it is simple, because you never ask God about anything. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Please, that's the way I want to apply it. That is, all the problems you have in life is that you don't just simply settle down and pray about it. You see, I've had the experience, let's take this student one as an example. I just remember things that happened those days when I was in university. There were subjects that I didn't like. In fact, two of them I remember very well. I've given the testimony here and there, but it's just so appropriate to use it today again to explain what I'm talking about. When I was a second, third year medical student, I did not like biochemistry. It started from the days of organic chemistry in secondary school. I was a calculation person. You get my point. You know, I like to work things out, principles. You know, so physics was my friend. Mathematics was my friend. Biology was not my friend, really. When I did jump, I got my lowest score in biology. That was just the way it is. I just didn't like biology. I was only studying medicine, so I had to read it, all right? Now, organic chemistry also, you just had to know the structure. So it didn't used to stick in my head. I didn't have this calculation with it. Anyway, just to tell you the background. So that's how I went to school. I did not like it. My first year, I passed quite well. My organic chemistry courses, chemistry 103 and 106, they were okay, all right? 105. Anyway, first one was 103. Second semester was 103 or 105 or 106. So I said, oh, well, praise God. I just managed to pass and I left. Except that one day I went to visit one guy who was a year my senior, a medical student also, and I saw biochemistry textbooks. And I realized I had not escaped from biochemistry, from this organic chemistry. And of course, as a third year medical student, you did anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. For one reason or the other, I loved anatomy. I loved it very well. I had no problem with it. Physiology had some structure and some order to it. I also like the principles you could learn. I liked it very much. But again, my old-time foe, biochemistry, was there. I didn't like it. The lectures were boring. I attended them anyway, but I'm not sure. I just didn't enjoy it. I hardly used to read it. An exam was coming. I had to pass it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. And one day, I told you, remember the story, I told you here and there. One day, I settled down. That's where I'm getting to. And just prayed about it. The prayer was one day, not 2 days. That one day prayer, you know, this is your fasting. I've told you. You are laughing. It doesn't work. Yeah, I was in my office the other day. Where was I? I was just making a joke that how Christians fast from evening till next day, and Muslims will first eat early and then say they are fasting. And I, how can you call that fast? So, you know, the Christians were feeling righteous. Yeah, you know, the Muslim Christians where I was. And I added the last bit to it. Everybody looked at what? I said, God doesn't listen to any one of the two. Everybody said, what? It's a matter of fact. I'm making something here. When you think it's hunger that's the issue, that's what I'm trying to explain. You know, let me go hungry first. Go and listen to our series. We just concluded it, how fasting works, the role of fasting in prayer, or how it works, or something like that, all right? The role of fasting in prayer, that it is to turn aside. It is to focus so as to get instruction, all right? Very important. You cannot settle down, take time out. If you like, be hungry from now till thy kingdom come. You understand? It's not having any effect. That's a matter of fact. Back to my own story. That day, I remember I just sat down simply and I asked the Lord, please, you know my issue with biochemistry and I have to pass it. It was simple. That was all I did. There was no long story. Right now, I begin to call success to come. Success, come, come. It is good to excite yourself when you are in church to talk like that. When you are alone, it's not necessary. You know, I've been telling you these things. I don't lie when I say it. When things, forget all this speaking English because you watch too much TBN. Just relax. Say the way it is. He said, why do you have conflicts within your members, inside your soul? I'm adapting it now. It is because you don't speak to God simply about things. I left that place of prayer with one simple instruction. Stop saying, I don't know how I came about it, but that was what stuck in my head. Stop saying biochemistry is volatile. If you've listened to me talk about it before, as soon as I got to class, somebody tempted me to say it, I refused to say it. You understand? That was not the only time. I remember my final surgery. The same thing happened. Something very similar to that. Of course, that's how I passed by chemistry. I passed it neat. You understand? Passed it. I mean, you can go and... I've told the story so many times. I read 4 questions before walking into the exam, and I had to answer only 5. 4, they were fresh in my brain. God handled the matter. My finals in surgery, the same thing. school, there was a lot of conflict in the society, not in my soul now, around that time, all right? And one day, Professor Williams just closed our school, everybody go home, the whole campus. But we medical students, the dean said, listen, your course is not stopping. So you had better find how you are going to manage yourself. Meanwhile, they kicked all of us out of the hostels. How do we handle it? I struggled to stay here. Finally, the distress was too much. I just packed and went home. I said, school is closed. I'm going home. We are home for weeks. When the school was reopened, I returned back to campus. Remember what I said? There was no interruption in the posting. And this was my finals. I was in final year surgery. I had missed most of my posting. Even before that one, self, maybe they were doing an exam or something. The lecturers were not very attentive to us. They left us to senior registrars, all right, to teach. And those ones were supposed to teach us during the clinical postings. And I didn't like our senior registrar at that time. Me and my friend, you know why? We used to see him in female hostel a lot. So my friend and I decided I couldn't know anything. You can't spend that amount of time in female hostel and still have any stuff in your head. So we want to just get to wonder, who's teaching? I won't mention his name. It's a big man now. He's still in the institution. I said, who's teaching? Mention that. Him? This is how we used to do. Me and the guy. We do our head like this. You carry our back. Your stroke or what? What is he going to tell anybody? I think the guy should get away. Anyway, that's what they do until they close school. So we couldn't make amends. By the time we returned, exam was like this. I did my medicine posting very well. My surgery posting, I did very badly. Most of the time, I was not even there. So when we returned to school, exam was closed, really, really closed. So we had like maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks to crash everything. You are there trying your best to learn what you could learn. Then one day, I still remember, exam was like, I think we had done the written work. Clinical work was now coming. Written work, I could have written at home. That was not a big deal. The clinical work, there's no way. You don't read it at home. You learn it, you know, in the hospital there, which I was not in for a long time. So I went to go and pray. Why do you have struggles and quarrels and troubles in your soul? Because you do not ask. So that night, I remember, I went to go and pray. I climbed to the top of one of the buildings there. I think it was in Hall 3. I just climbed. School was a bit quiet, all right? Mostly medical students around this time. So I just climbed up there and I began to bring up my surgery problem to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know the issue. Nobody said I'd be good boy, but I was not that bad. You understand my point? Part of it was because of school closure. You were there. You saw it. And the other time, self, I was not very, you know, I confessed the whole thing, told the Lord the way it was. But the summary of it, your son has to pass this exam. So I now prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, please. Because the way it is that I'm a lecturer now, so I understand. If you ask a student a very simple question and he doesn't get it, great is his punishment. If you ask him a very difficult question and he doesn't get it, his punishment is mild. So we had this concept amongst ourselves that hernia was a very simple condition and that medical students are not allowed to make any mistake when it comes to examination of hernias. So I pray to the Lord, therefore, since I do not know anything as things are right now, please don't let them give me a hernia to examine tomorrow. Very sensible question. A prayer point, right? Actually, the Lord just prompted me. Is it that you don't want hernias or you want to pass? I said, okay, actually. Lord, hernia or no hernia? Bobo just got to pass. Yeah, you getting my point? I just have to do well in that exam tomorrow. Okay, fine. So then we had reputation about good lecturers and bad lecturers, difficult ones, those who were tough and all of that. So there was one particular professor, Professor Ofuegbu, who believed he was very tough. So that he was a very, very difficult fellow. All right? That was the reputation. And he was a surgery professor, so he was going to be there examining tomorrow. So I asked the Lord again, saying, now that we've settled the hernia matter, please, I don't want any toxic human being, and I specifically mentioned the name, like Professor Ofuegbu, please, oh. I thank you for it. You have answered me. Then he prompted my spirit again. Is it Professor Ofuegbu that's your problem or you want to pass? Ah, I said, Lord, okay, you are very correct. Actually, Professor Ofuegbu or no Professor Ofuegbu, I just must pass this exam. Hear ye, my brethren, how the Lord solved it. Next day I went for exam. I got Professor Ofuegbu and I got a hernia. I say, God has a sense of humor. No, I got both Professor Ofuegbu. And the thing that I feared the most came up. The two of them. That is, as soon, in fact, the way it played out was very nice. Very, very interesting. What happened was that there was one professor from Calabar that was reputed to be a very nice and gentleman. In fact, the way he used to introduce himself, I can't remember his name now because he didn't examine me. But the gist was out among students. You know, we're quite a number of us, so you know what's going on. And that man is very nice. So as he was approaching my own bay, you know, where I had me and my patient, long case, I was waiting. I was happy. I said, Baba God, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. The way he would do it is he would come and say, I'm Professor So-and-so. I'm your friend from Calabar. I just came to ensure that you don't know. I'm not here to fail. He would talk very nicely. That was it. So he was examining the guy next to me. I said, I was marking the time. I said, very soon it will be my turn. Okay, now. I was worshiping. I was waiting like, praise God. As he headed in my direction, somebody just stopped him and said, sir, it's time for tea break. I feel like, say, you know, was a resident. I feel like, say, chief, wait now. He can drink tea after. No. But I wasn't allowed to speak. In fact, the way it was, everybody was screened. You know, UBTH, they are wards, all right? The screens are very nice. You know, just put the curtain like this. You are screened. So you are kind of hearing, you know, You're not really looking. You're just hearing. I'm like, what? He comes. So I'm like, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I hereby cancel the tea. Forget. The tea was not canceled. That's how I lost that man. So because it was tea break, all of them were on tea break. So I had to wait. Waited. Next thing I knew, my two guys just walked up. The professor that I feared the most, and that doctor. Hi. I was like, Father God, one, you gave me a hernia. Because no, it was a case of a hernia. And now this professor that I did not want. But which yesterday I had confessed to God that it didn't matter. And God just touched, so I can teach his word properly. So I can understand him properly. Do you get my point? He ensured that those two things were the things I got. A hernia and the professor that I thought was toxic. Let me make a long story short, all right? By the time we're through that day, in fact, what he did was he sat down. He allowed the other fellow to do most of the talking. So that guy was also very nice. Asked me questions, do like this. I made one mistake. He corrected it and said, no, next time don't do it like that. I thanked him very well. At the end of the day, so they just looked at each other like, okay, I think we're through with him. So the prof just said, no, let me ask him a simple question. I still know very well in my mind. I said, thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. You said it's a simple question. It shall be a simple question. I was thinking, you know, when you are in Word of Faith in university, you learn a lot of things. We don't learn, some of these we learn seven and witchcraft. We learn everything, joy. We learn everything. No time to walk by faith, you know. The man said, then he now asked the question. So I was waiting like, oh God, this will not. Just ask the question. The moment he asked the question, I just knew the answer he wanted. But there were two other answers where I knew the one he wanted. So I started from the ones he did not want and walked my way down to the one he wanted. I said, this could happen. He said, yes, that's not bad. Any other thing? I mentioned that one. He said, okay, that's also correct. And I gave him the last one. I said, he could develop a hematoma. Ah, he's a good boy. I said, He said, in fact, I remember he said, that's my boy. When he said I could leave, he said, I was shaking my head. There was one sister, Cynthia, that was her name, also my classmate. She saw me approaching. Like, Banky, how is it? I was just shaking my head. And she was like, what happened? All I was doing was shaking my head. I couldn't believe it had happened. Are you getting my point? What am I talking about? I prayed that all of us will learn it. He said, why do you have struggles? Why do you have quarrels? Why do you have turmoil in your soul, within your members? He said, because you do not ask. That's verse 3. He said, at the end of verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. Listen, who do I have in heaven but you? Everybody is applying for a job. You actually don't have anybody physically. The problem is that the person we have, we don't tell him about the job we applied for. A lot of times we're just there declaring. I have it. We're just declaring, you know? Just declaring. You have not even bothered to settle down. Say, Lord, today I applied for a job. I submitted my CV. They didn't allow me to put spiritual people as my referees. I will have put your name. You understand what I'm saying? But you are my number one referee. You are the only one I have in heaven. I'm not going to call anybody. I have dropped my application. I have dropped it. Lord, I like this job. These are the reasons why I like it. That would remove turmoil from your soul. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's what we're talking about. Very, very important. You know, I said to the person that God actually answers prayers. The problem is that we actually do not pray most of the time. I like what Kenneth Hagin said in one of his books I read. He said, you know, he was a prophet, so he used to have visions of God, you know, visions of the Lord, visions of angels and all of that. He said that the Lord told him something once in a vision, a real vision, physical. He was seeing him. And he said to him simply that, I think he had this feeling that his wife was going to die early. It was a feeling that was with him for a very long time. And he said the thing that actually used to hinder his ministry. Being a prophet, you know, he used to shy away from spiritual manifestations because once he gets into the realm of the spirit, that thing comes into him again. So just so as to close the thing out of his mind, a lot of times he just wouldn't try and get into the area of prophecy and stuff like that. Anyway, let's make a long story short. One day, he had the opportunity and he just prayed to the Lord about it and said to him simply that I've always had the feeling that my wife is going to die early. And the Lord said to him simply, yes, that is true. She was going to die very early, maybe in her 20s or early 30s or stuff like that. Ah, and he said, No. And he began to tell the Lord, I like her very much. She's a very nice person. I like her a lot. Somebody I've worked with for some time. That's taken him some time to get her trained in the ministry and all of that. And if the Lord takes her away, he's going to have to start again. He just explained simply like that. So the Lord said, what is somebody? What are you saying? I don't want her to die. And he said, done. No problem. She's not going to die. Now, the woman outlived him. He died at about the age of 88. She died like 2 or 3 years after. And this happened when they were in their 20s or so, or 30s. So 50 years later, the woman was still alive. And he said, the Lord said to him then, that why am I doing that? He said, simply because you asked. Now, I don't know whether you got, that was the one that caught me. He said, why? He said, simply because you asked. That's why I tell husbands, you must pray for your wife. Now, go and read the story of Isaac. Isaac married at the age of 40 after his mother died. And Esau and Jacob were born when he was 60. 20 years. He didn't have a child. She did not bear. And the Bible said that one day, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. That same year, she conceived and gave birth to those two boys. I learned the story. When I read the story, I learned the lesson long ago. I said, so, bros, why did it take you 20 years to get to that point? Simply, maybe he had many other things to try. He had many other ways to go about it. When he had tried everything and he had been frustrated, he finally settled down and turned his face towards heaven and entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. And the Lord said, no problem. And that was it. She gave him two kids that year. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, you know, I was saying earlier, you can't look at a man and say, God, give me a man that will take care of me. God said, listen, I'm the one that takes care of people. So I'm not going to give you a man that will take care of you. So better forget that nonsense. If there's anything you want in life, pray about it. If you have troubles, don't go and marry to solve your troubles. I'm always having a headache. I'm always tense. Maybe if I marry, I will cool down. All right. You will marry a woman that's more tense than you. If you are tense, pray now. Ask the Lord to help you solve your tension. And don't give the job that God is supposed to do to a human being. Is it fair? Think about it now. You say, why are you doing that wicked? All the tension in your head. You want to give one young woman to solve it. Why don't you give God that one to solve first so that she will come and meet a man that doesn't have that kind of tension? Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. In that teaching, he said that God said to him that, you see, The problem is this. My children don't ask me for things. All they do is complain and whine and grind. I'm adding words to it now. In what they call prayer. That they hardly ever pray. They don't ask for things. When I started teaching this short series, what I had in my mind was just to bring brethren to understand again, the people of God, that praying, all right, faith is not one, it's not a long English. It's not something you tighten your stomach so as to be able to achieve. It's an attitude. You know, I said it by saying it. It's what? An attitude. It's just an attitude. That is, when I have problems, how do I handle them? Who do I turn to? You know, the other day, a friend of mine and I were talking. One man of God, the pastor, he died. And we were discussing the matter. So I walked in on them and I said, can you imagine? He died. He refused to take medicine. Can you imagine? They said he did not take medicine. Why did he do like that? You know, people were just talking. I said, what happened? They said he died. I said, he's dead. I said, he has rested. People should just leave him alone. I'm going somewhere. I said, listen, guys, I work in the hospital. And those doctors are just as dangerous as what now? As not going to hospital at all. Let me put it like that. I pray you understand what I'm saying. I said, maybe the man was believing God. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. And he died. Who tells you that doctors don't treat people and they still die? So his medicine did not work too bad. But the other one too, it doesn't always work. Say, the man has died, don't worry, just leave him alone. He has rested in peace. I'm going somewhere. So my friend and I were not talking about something. I said, Christians forget, and listen to this, that prayer and the word of God is as tangible a medicine, let's talk on that level, as any injection, any drug that any doctor can give you. Is that tangible? Now you judge which one is more potent. It is as tangible. So don't tell me that a man who refused to take one doctor's medicine is foolish. Don't tell me that. I won't accept it. I'm a doctor, but I won't accept that from you. Because I know that he chose a medicine. If he used it properly, all right, you can argue that he didn't use it well, according to prescription. But please don't make it appear as if the fact that he did not take the one that we can see means he was a foolish man. He was not a foolish man. The word of God is tangible medicine. It is. It is. Believe me, it is. The problem is that it's difficult for us to connect with it. We don't have the patience. We can patiently be swallowing tablets. You understand my point? It's called faith extenders. You can see it. You understand? I will not believe that he rose from the dead except I touch the injection and, you understand, feel the bitterness of the medicine. Yes. You know. So it happens. And the Lord Jesus was very, very kind. He came to Thomas and said, yeah, oh boy, you will not believe without seeing. You see, Ansu? Say yes. Put your hand. You put down. He said, Allah, Lord and my God. He said, now that you have believed. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. He said, now you have seen, you believe. What am I going to bring out? The fact that it's easier to believe that which we can see. You understand my point? And that's our problem. It does not remove the authenticity and the veracity and the reality of that which we cannot see. I'm bringing out something here again. That is, listen. If somebody says, my uncle is a minister, maybe minister for health, all right? And he's going to help me get this particular appointment. So I'm going to call him. Now, get what I'm saying? I'm going to call him. And then the friend said, no, my uncle doesn't even have time for things like this. Though he's a minister, he's the vice president. I could call him, but I don't like to bother him. Don't worry about it. There's no need anyway. I will just call God. I'll tell God about it. I don't know whether you're following my point. Do you know it's a proper conversation? It's not to be commented on. Call your uncle. There's no need. I think I've called God about it. You handle the matter. Let's go. And there's two guys chatting. There's no big deal. You know, there's nothing. There's nothing. It's just chat. It's just chat. Nothing. So have you talked to that man? No, I didn't bother talking to him again. When I go home yesterday, I just realized that he's just but a man and I don't even know his mood. His mood can change. So leave him. So what I did was that I just asked God about it. So I've talked to God and you handle it. Now let's go. Calm. attitude, tall. You know, are you getting my point? No guru about it. Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord said to him that the truth is that people don't pray. They complain. You go and see the scriptures. Now, because that's the, listen, this is how you know that you don't know God. If you travel anywhere because you are looking that this man works miracles, you go there, just know you are confused. You may not be wicked though, you may not even be a sinner, you're just confused. You know, something struck me. This is how you know when somebody is walking properly and when he's not as a believer or as a human being. If you are trapped, now, you know the Bible says something, that they used to follow Jesus Christ for two things, to hear and to be healed. Are you getting my point? To hear and to be healed. You want to judge whether somebody is a man of God? Let somebody tell you one day what they heard him say that blessed them. Forget the miracles for a moment. Just tell me what you heard him say that moved your spirit, that blessed you. If there is nothing like that, you are following a liar. Fact. They said they used to follow Jesus to hear and to be healed. Two of them always went together. So I see people running up, and these are people who are not going to be blessed. Once they go, they are run only for miracles. They will never be blessed. Never. Be there for 10 years, you won't get it. Even if that man of God is authentic, how much more when he's fake? Please, I hope you're following what I'm trying to explain. I just dropped that one on the side, all right? Just by the way, just you know, trying to buttress the point I'm trying to make that. The problem is that a lot of people, God is not real to us, so, you know, we actually don't pray. We often say prayers. Some people grow up saying prayers. It's a joke I read once. One young boy was praying. And or other young boy, young girl, anyway, a young person, yeah, and said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and the Lord said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Don't interrupt me, I'm praying." Are you getting my point? I said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and the Lord said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Please don't interrupt me, I am praying." That is, they grew up saying prayers. Are you getting my point? But God is not real. Like, let's talk to him. How do we solve this problem? Are you getting my point? This is real matter. Let's just join our hands and ask. And that's all faith is. That you see God as real, tangible. You get my point? Not just, that's more real than the person you know, the person you can see. And when matters come up, like, let's talk to God about it. That is just a matter of, it's just a simple, the way I'll say that, Israel, please, did I leave my bag there? You get my point? In the same manner, I just want to the Lord say, Lord, man, between now and next week, it looks like we have to come up with all the money needed for this. So I just want to ask that you send the money, and I say it sincerely, as if I called Dangote. Are you getting my point? And Dangote is my friend. You are getting what I'm saying? You know, if you have somebody like Dangote as your friend, very nice guy. Anytime you need something, you can call him. If you need that 10 million, you know you wouldn't bother really. Just say, okay, I'll call Alhaji. You know, it's simple. You just say, and the person who heard you say it takes it for granted that, all right, fine. Hopefully, if Alhaji comes through by next week, it should be done. What am I trying to say? What is prayer? We realize that God is richer than Dangote. He's nicer than Dangote. He doesn't have people between him and us that we have to talk to before we can talk to him. That is closer than Dangote. You see? Richer, nicer, closer. And most importantly, loves you and thinks about you all the time more than Dangote has a capacity to do for even his wives. Or if any wives they have, I don't know, but okay, let's assume he has one, even for his wife. That is what faith is. That is what faith is. All right? Now, I hope you understood that. I hope you understood that. All right? I've used that to just tie many things together. I want to just explain something here. Actually, I was going to a particular place, which I'm sure we have been mentioning here and there as we're going on. That is, he said, why do you have quarrels in your members? Why do you have conflicts in your soul? Why are you unsettled? Why can't you sleep? All right? And that's my joke again. Why are people pursuing you your dreams? You understand what I'm saying? It is because you do not ask. That's the summary. Because you do not ask. Now, let me just add this one to you so we can wrap this one up today. He now said, when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives. Now, that's specifically what James said, but let me add something to it because other parts of the scriptures also say it. Again, you ask with wrong methods. You ask with a wrong focus. You are asking for that which is wrong. I've said many other things added to wrong motives. James was saying specifically about motives. What is the thing that is stirring up your prayer? Are you getting my point? What is it that's stirring up your prayer? You know, are you becoming childish so that, you know, Israel and I were joking the other day that if you buy a very good and very nice and very powerful phone today, by the next week, they will bring another one that is finer, more powerful, and listen to this, and cheaper. You buy Galaxy S3 today, 12 months later, you say it's plus one. It's not Galaxy S4. And those who don't have, they don't have been turned to prayer point. That's the kind of prayer God knows the answer. You hear they flog you for coming to pray. Why? Because immaturity is your problem. It's part of the wrong motives. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So no, the world sometimes, that's what James was talking about. You must be careful. I said that last time as I was closing, that you must never let the world give you a prayer point. Don't let them give you a prayer point. Listen, don't let the world give you a prayer point. The one I see all the time, my mates have done this. And what is my answer to that? What's my answer? You don't have mates. You don't have mates. You don't have mates. Then my mother said to me, your mates are building houses. I said, how many of them are teaching the way of success? That ended the discussion. You build a house, I build my radio broadcast. Abi? That's it. I don't have mates. There's nothing I'm doing that I'm checking. I have my mates doing it. When I started doing ministry, my mates were starting churches. I said, I don't want to do that. So, you know what I mean? Mate. Every mate has his own problem. Me, this is my own problem I'm solving. You don't have mates. So, mates can... If you kneel down and say, God, my mates are... That's it. End of prayer session. No, Reverend Father, just come out for a confession box. I can't come out. Leave it for them. That is, you are talking with God. And your mind is, my mate. That's it. Who? You just get up from confession box. Leave you alone. By the time you finish confess, nobody there to prescribe any penance for you on your own. You don't start. No, with God, there's nothing like that. That is what he called asking with wrong motives. Asking with wrong motives. Let me say this to you again, because it's not a lie, it's a fact. There is nothing in my life that I really want, I pray to the Lord for, that he doesn't give me. Nothing. Nothing. Unless I don't want it. And that's part of maturity, that there are things I just decide I don't want. I'm one person, I can admire something, admire it very well, but I don't want it. Like I say all the time, you know, I'm kind of aware about technology. I know what's going on. You know, they interest me. So if I analyze a sports car for you, say, okay, you like sports cars. Do you know, it has never crossed my mind to want to drive. I don't even want to enter it. I like wide, tall, big. I'm not running anywhere, you know. I was a he that believes will not make haste. So I don't, not trying to get anywhere in a hurry. I just take my life easy. But I can sit down and be admiring it. I'm going to say something here. The world is not going to give me a prayer point. Never. You understand my point? No, they won't. They won't press me into things. Because everybody is doing it. Everybody is now taking their children abroad for holiday. When are you going to start? That is it. I'm carrying my children to Yankari Game Reserve. That is once you say that one. I do the one I want to do. Now, if nobody is doing it and I want it, I will still want it. I don't have mates. I do the things that are mine in my own season. Listen, if you purify your heart to that level, I'm saying to you, straightforward, no lie about it. There is nothing you want in life that God will not give to you. including if you decide you want to go to the moon so you can see the earth. The how come is only from down you are looking at the moon. Why can't you from moon look at the earth? As, you know, it sounds silly, right? Yes. Yeah. But God will just be the one to say, okay, guys, he wants to go to the moon. No, God doesn't have any issue with your desires as long as it's not competition. Did you hear what I said? As long as it's not competition, say, I want to build a house that has 17 floors. I said, no problem. Give him money, give him everything, let him build a house of 17 floors. But he said, why 17 floors? Can't you see that the other guy's built the one that's 15 floors? That's it, you are going underground. That's it, the bad God won't give you anything. But if you're not thinking about anybody honestly facing your life, facing the assignment of God, and you see that as we go, well, maybe I want to end this one today. I don't know, I think I'm going to come back to it. But you see, maturity as a believer, all right, helps you to understand what is important. Are you getting my point? Yes, it helps you understand what is important. And what happens is that as time, because of that understanding, your prayer points tend to be on those things that are important also. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. Let's talk about ministry as an example that, okay, why am I alive? Why did God give me life? You've come to an understanding of the fact that a man, a woman should follow purpose in life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you've come to that understanding. So you start reasoning along the line of purpose. You are reasoning along the line of purpose. What happens is that when you utter prayers, in fact, maybe later, okay, let me just get into it. There's what the Bible calls the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that does what? That avails much. It was James that said, let's just read it just further down there. That will be in chapter 5. From verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? What did he say? I can't hear you. He said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, please notice this, which is why we read this. He said the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, I want to read that in other translations. He said, New Living Translation says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, I'll read a few others. The prayer, he says, of a good person has a powerful effect. That's good news. Now, the one I'm actually going to is Amplified Bible. Now, please, listen to this from the Amplified Bible. That tells you something. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. Why did I read that? I wanted the word heartfelt. You see some, it also uses the word earnest, all right? Let's talk about that briefly, the word heartfelt. No, first of all, let me dispense quickly of the word righteous man. We've talked about true righteousness revealed. Amen? If you are here, then say amen.
Amen.
Now, I explained that. I'm not going to go over that again. Hearing, he said, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. All right? So, righteousness is by what? By faith. Any true believer that has consciously, deliberately recognized Jesus as the Son of God and having died for his sin also, you get my point? Apart from the fact that he came, you recognize the fact that he died for your sin. You are a Christian and you are a righteous man. That's what the Bible is talking about. Now, my emphasis, all right, is on the word heartfelt. Now, you see, this is very important. I was saying something earlier before I went into this, all right? Now, please, notice this. I was explaining that as you go on in life, you begin to understand purpose. Yes, that's what I was trying to explain. That you now understand the things that matter, all right? Now, spiritual things are like this. You have your body, of course. You have what you feel. But there is something that's actually what the Bible calls your spirit. That is where things settle that resonate in the realm of the spirit. Now, your something that catches your attention today, all right, actually does not often resonate in the realm of the spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, wow, man, if you see the dress that girl was wearing, and you get excited, man, let's pray about it. You see, can God supply dress? Yes. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But you know, most of the time, it doesn't answer those ones. Not because, what is wrong with yourself? Why are you just liking dress like that? That's not the issue. The fact is that your prayer point is not heartfelt. It is flash felt. It's just a flash feeling based on what you just saw suddenly. Are you getting my point? You know, you see something for the first time, it makes such a powerful impression on your flesh and on your emotions. But really, it is not heartfelt. Now, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's why I tell people that the person that can pray for you the most, that is most effective, is the person that feels your pain. Do you get my point? You know the way it is, you are going in traffic. All those pictures that those boys always used to come and beg, they'll show you somebody with one very large elephantiatic leg like this. And you know, you just look at it and they're begging. You don't even give them 5 naira. And if you give them, you are kind, you are moved. You drop 100 bucks, you know, that kind of thing. And you feel very righteous. They show one child that the whole face is swollen with a tumor. Don't you see those things on the road? Am I the only one that sees them? And you know one thing I know? I'm sure all these doctors and nurses don't give a dime. You know why? They've seen worse things. So if it is money, you'll have been donating money at work. They don't even notice. You bring, and you know, some people, what is that? The donkey just driving. He's chewing his meat pie as you are showing him the bad pictures. He doesn't notice anything. Now, I'm bringing an issue now. But you know, there's a difference between that and when your mother calls you and says that your sister is in hospital, her stomach is paining her, and they don't know what is wrong. If you were eating, what's the first thing you do? First, drop the spoon. You push the plate back. What happened? When? How? For what reason? What did they say? How's she feeling? What have they done? Where are you people? Which hospital? Who is there? And this, see, the question is going on. And if it's like you are all in the same town, you're already looking for your car keys, you are looking for your shoes, okay, which hospital did you say? You know, that's what the Bible calls heartfelt. That kind of, you know, they show you a picture on the road, you give 100 naira. This one, if you had the money, and they said to cure this, is $500,000. You know, you finish paying it before you realize you paid it. This is not a 100 naira offering now. Why? Because it is what? Heartfelt. That's what, you see, there's no way of explaining this thing more than the fact that it is heartfelt. That is the one that resonates in the realm of the spirit. That's why I tell people that it is difficult to pray for somebody you don't know effectively. It's very difficult. It's not impossible. What the Holy Spirit does at such times is to place a special burden upon your soul. You understand my point? That is when you pray in a way you don't understand yourself. But most of the time, that's not what happens. Most of the time, what happens is that you know the person and his trouble troubles you. Her pains, you feel them, even though your body is not feeling it. But the fellow is not sleeping, you don't sleep. Listen, those are the people that feel like that for you are the ones that pray most effectively for you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Yes. That's the principle of intercession. And they say, okay, pray for the hungry people in Bolivia. Where is Bolivia? Most people don't even know where Bolivia is. If I ask people now whether it's Asia or the Americas, half of these people here will say it's Asia. I know, as I'm saying, some people say, it's not Asia. you are getting what I'm not explaining. Someone did not say, brethren, let us pray right now for the suffering people of Bolivia. That's when Pentecostals start speaking all kinds of funny tongues. You know what it means? I beg, I don't have to close this prayer for more, go house. They don't know what you're talking about. That is the heart not felt prayer. Even though he's a righteous man, it avails little. You are following what I'm going to explain. Now, let me just adapt to this other side. Oftentimes, like that, when we are making prayers to God, a lot of times what we are praying for is not important to us. He knows. We may not even know. And he will prove it over time. After 1 week, you've forgotten the prayer point. Are you getting my point? If God were to answer it, you don't even know. What is this? What is it for? Who brought it here? This is your own. My own? Okay. Keep it there. You know, sometimes my wife and I discuss some things. I just say, this is not important. What do you mean it's not important? It's not important. You know what the way I do it? Okay, it's all right, fine. Just leave it. I know after a while, she will forget. That's proof that what? Let me summarize. I've taken time. We should close now. What have I tried to say today, all right? The last point I just made is this. The fact is that if something is important to you, listen to this. If it is important to you, it resonates in the realm of the spirit, all right? And if you ask God simply about it, listen to me, saints of God, 100% of the times, God answers prayers. There's no competition. We are not fighting anybody. Not Angela has married and has 2 children. God, when will it be my turn? Once you mention Angela's name, prayer session closes. That's it. Once you open your mouth and refer to somebody else, listen, that's the end of it. In fact, God will demand that you go and do a mugo for Angela for the next 2 children and rejoice with her from the bottom of your heart before he talks to you again on that matter. Very important. No, what I'm telling you is very, very crucial. These are the reasons Christians are not blessed. As a believer, some things that you must never be named by mistake, by accident. You know, something around you is envy. Envy is not your friend. It makes sure you don't progress. Envy, it makes sure that nothing works for you. You pray, it will just, as soon as you say, in Jesus' name, amen, you just hear noise in the roof. It's your prayer bouncing back. That's what envy does. Comparing yourself, look at how much this man has. Look at how much he's earning. Look at this one. And then in your heart, you are envy. That is, don't even let it happen one day. If you say, if it's trying to happen, start praying for the person. Be blessing the person. Give the person a gift. Be rejoice when the people are blessed. Listen, once you can rejoice when other people are blessed, you're on your way to breakthrough. Do you hear what I said? Believe me. When you make your prayers simply because of how your own life is going in the direction of your purpose, and you simply ask God for things, listen to me, 100% of the times he answers prayers. Especially, like I said, when you know what you're talking about, and you really are serious that this is what the matter is. You remember my book, Shall I Say Yes? I told a story inside there that one sister asked me once. She said that, a friend of mine, we were in school together. She said, okay, bank, so what exactly is it that you want in a wife? And I listed 3 things for her, which I wrote in that book, Shall I Say Yes? Now she made a statement, which is why I remember it. She said that I asked the same question 2 years ago. These were the very things you told me. I don't know whether I get the point. It's not as I was watching television one day. I saw Agbani Darego won Miss World. Lord, in the name of Jesus, when you give me a wife, she must look like Agbani Darego. You see what I'm saying? That is not heartfelt. When the lady, I didn't know we had that discussion before. She just asked me, what is that lady? That's what I wrote in the book, those 3 things we have talked about again and again. And she said, I asked this question 2 years ago, and that's exactly, all right? That was exactly what you said to me. What does that tell you? It means it was heartfelt. Are you getting my point? It was settled in my heart, and it was resonating in the realm of the spirit. I hope you've gotten my point. What have I discussed in the last few sessions on this is a simple thing about how faith works in prayer. If you notice, I have not told you how to wake up and face the east and declare this in 7 times. How to write your confessions in such a manner that you will never... No. Not all those methods, sometimes they are poisonous because they confuse the soul. Are you getting my point? You think that you didn't do it well. That's what the problem is. What I've tried to do is to just show us that it's an attitude of the heart. One, only God, and that's God alone. Are you getting the point? Number 2, just know what you want. Just abide to it now. Let it be something that is really settled in your heart, and that's what we mean by heartfelt. And number three, purify your motives. There's no competition. Nobody's fighting anybody. Remember, we adapted that also to say that why do we have conflicts in our souls? Why do we have troubles in our hearts? It is simply because we do not ask. Are you getting my point? When you're going about your business, if things are rough, ask. You're in your office, things are slow, ask. In your school, a course is difficult, what do? You ask. If you do this, believe me, you will see the power of God manifested in your everyday life. I hope you've gotten my point. Now let's just rise to our feet and just give the Lord thanks. We're closing immediately. All right, our Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word is good. Please just put up your right hand. I declare to you again that goodness and mercy will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your hand is filled with the peace of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if you get anywhere, you get home, or you touch your body that is ailing, and you say to it, peace be upon this body. Peace be upon this home. Peace be upon this business. I declare to you once again that the peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.